Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
For unto you is born this day a Savior. He is the Messiah, the Lord. That passage of Scripture that comes out of the birth of Jesus narrative in Luke chapter 2 is such an important word for us as we now are in the Christmas season. I wanted to take this time to take a little break from our series and wish you and yours a most wonderful Christmas celebration of the coming of our Lord Emmanuel, God with us, into our world. I love this passage of Scripture. When I was at home with my children years ago, we would put out a nativity creche, and then we would read the different narratives that reflect the Christmas story, and the kids would use the various figurines as a way to play out the story. And this was one of my, I think, favorite verses in the entire narrative when it says, "For unto you has been born a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Long, long ago, before we were alive, I guess Jesus had us in mind. Robert G. Lee, who at one time was the president, I believe, of the Southern Baptist Church, it could have been, I can't be absolutely sure of that, was visiting the Holy Land, and when he came upon the Via Dolorosa, he began to weep, the story goes. And the guy said, "Oh, I see you have been here before," to which Dr. Lee said, "Yes, 2,000 years ago." He had this ability to understand that Jesus was thinking of him. And so when we begin to consider the greatness of the Christmas celebration, which, by the way, can so easily get lost in all the tinsel and lights, we must remember that this is for us. That God so loved us that he sent Jesus to cross the universe, and that Christ loved us, and that his love was greatly displayed by his giving his life for us. So I hope that we can really think about this at the Christmas season and keep our hearts focused on what this really means to us, that Jesus came as a very vulnerable child in order to live amongst us, to live a perfect life, and then through grace to assign our name to that life, that we might be his forever and ever. Stunning, isn't it? It's almost scandalous. So my mind's been on the idea this week of making room for Jesus. That's something that we need to be responding to here in the Christmas season, the idea that we make room for Christ. Now, you know, obviously, that that's part of the Christmas story, that Mary and Joseph go to Bethlehem and they need a place to stay, and they go to the innkeeper, apparently, and it says there was no room for them in the inn. And then they go off and have to stay where the cattle are. I often think about the innkeeper. I wonder what was going on with him. Maybe business was so good because of the fact that all these people were coming back to Bethlehem because of the census, that he was apathetic to the reality right before him that here's a woman soon to give birth to child, and he doesn't seem to care. He doesn't make room. And of course, we know that Herod didn't make room. He didn't want to make room in his kingdom for the coming of the King of Kings. As a matter of fact, he so didn't want there to be room for the King of Kings that in his opposition, he was willing to try to eliminate his life, and in so doing, killed dozens and dozens of little children. In his own insecurity, he wasn't able to handle the idea of a king coming who would be greater than himself. I think about Mary. Obviously, Mary had to make room. My goodness gracious, here's this young girl, and God comes to her through the Holy Spirit and an angel and says that the Spirit will hover over her, and then she will give birth to Jesus. Wow, talk about reframing everything that your life is about. Joseph had to make room, didn't he? What he thought was scandalous in some ways became an even greater scandal, because at first it seems that he was afraid that his fiancée Mary had been with another man, and then, which would be a scandal, obviously, but then finds out, no, that's not true. It's the Holy Spirit who is nurturing a life inside of her. Who would believe that? Who would even understand that? Joseph had to make room to walk the scandal out and somehow try to navigate what it meant to be with Mary, who's about to give birth to the Son of God. I guess you could say the shepherds had to make room for Jesus. On a cold, dark night, they had to, well, in essence, rearrange their schedule once the angels declared that he was in Bethlehem. And down they went in this very cold, dark spot, and they worshiped Jesus, and they celebrated him, making room. I think this week I've been thinking, are there ways in which I am failing to make room for Jesus in my own life? Possibly relating back to the idea of abiding. Am I making room for him in my day-to-day life to be able to be quiet and to spend time and to recognize his presence all around me? Robert Munger once wrote about the fact that my heart needs to be Christ's home. And have I given him in my heart, my whole heart, so that he has a large home within me, at the very center of who I am, in order that I can make room for Jesus? You know, I think there are a lot of Christian people, good Christian people, people that genuinely want to follow Jesus, that at the very season when we should be celebrating Christ find it difficult because there's almost no room. Off buying presents and moving from, you know, relative to relative and trying to fight back the hectic nature of shopping. I wonder if we don't need to stop for a little bit and ask the question, if Jesus is the great gift to us at Christmas, what is the gift that we could be giving back to him? And I think part of it is this ability to make room. Make room in your schedule, make room in your time, make room in your space. You know, when we have guests coming here to our home, Sherry always does a lot of preparation. She wants to find out what's their favorite food and wants to make sure that they have the snacks that they enjoy. And she gets the spare bedrooms all ready in anticipation of them coming. That's the nature of hospitality. I wonder if we should be at Christmas time thinking about the gift of hospitality in reference to the coming of Jesus. You know, hospitality is the ability, a grace-gifting ability, by the way, to enable someone to come into our lives and they feel comfortable there, they feel at home there, they feel respected and honored and even loved there. Have you thought about the possibility that during this Christmas season you would do well to exercise the gift of hospitality with Jesus? Do some preparation for his coming so that he's not relegated into some back dank corner in our own lives, but in fact we're willing to really make space for him. You know, I mentioned the innkeeper and Herod and the shepherds, and you begin to look at these three characters in the Christmas narrative, and you begin to see in some ways they represent people. Some people, they really are against Jesus. They have no desire whatsoever to see Jesus come into their lives. And so their stance to the coming of Christ, instead of making room, is not only aggression, but possibly even an attack against him. That would be like Herod. And then you have the innkeeper who's so busy that he's kind of apathetic to the whole thing. He doesn't see what's right before his eyes, relegating Christ again to some dank corner out of his sight. And then you have shepherds, simple shepherds and wise men, who see what's going on and respond to the angel's song, and they rush to worship him. You gotta make room if you're gonna respond to Jesus in worshipful adoration. Because it's not simply about going on Christmas Eve and singing Christmas carols. It's about a time of the year when we re-examine the degree to which we've recognized that we are hosting the presence of Christ in our lives. And the gift of hospitality toward him is also something very, very important. So I guess that's the first part of this challenge. And that is, by the way, I do hope you have a magnificent Christmas celebration. But as you are, maybe it'd be something important for you to consider new ways in which you could make room for Jesus. You don't only want him to be in your life, but maybe you want him to be the center of your life. And maybe you want your whole life to be oriented toward his lordship, which is part of the message of Christmas. Because when Scripture says here, unto you is born a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, it means that, well, he's the king over all of life. And when Jesus Christ is the king over our lives, there is a reorientation of life that has to take place. As Eugene Peterson said, a reimagining of what it means to live a life with Jesus Christ as Lord. And so we begin to think of making room for Jesus. Now, I want to add another dimension to this. And that is that Jesus came in a way that nobody expected. I mean, even though Scripture talked about this in the Old Testament, this took so many people by surprise. I mean, how could this be the coming of the Messiah, a baby in a stable among a poor family? I mean, that is not what they had in mind. So to some degree, he came, if you will, in disguise. And because he was in disguise, people didn't recognize that it was him. And some of the very people who had been waiting for the coming of the Messiah became the most aggressive in rejecting the Messiah because he didn't come, well, looking the way they thought he should look, doing the things they thought he should do, living where they thought he should live. As a matter of fact, by coming from Bethlehem, he was coming from the wrong side of the tracks, if you will, and they were looking for a king of glory. But their definition of glory had more to do with power and possessions and privilege than it did with redeeming a broken world by caring for those that are broken. So, excuse me, I'm sorry for doing that. So this leads me to a question, and the question is, could it be that during this Christmas season, Jesus comes to you in disguise? And in disguise means that you really are not expecting that this could have anything to do with Jesus. You know, there's clear indication in Scripture that Jesus often comes to us as a stranger because Jesus himself said, I was thirsty and you didn't give me something to drink. I was hungry and you didn't give me something to eat. And his followers said, when did we see you like this? And he said, anyone that comes. You know, Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa as she's known, was asked about her going out to minister to people that were so broken in the streets. And one of the things she commented on is she's always looking for Jesus because he could be there, disguised as one of them. If you get a chance someday, there's a book called The Story of a Soul. And it's about Teresa of Lisieux, who lived well over 100 years ago. She didn't live a long life. She became a nun. And yet she developed something known as the Little Way. And the Little Way had to do with small acts done with great love. Little acts of kindness done with great love. And the belief was that these little acts of kindness, which are done with great love, are what Jesus was pointing to when he said, I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. And so could it be that in this Christmas season, there's going to be somebody right before you that maybe you don't easily recognize? Maybe even there's something about them that would draw you away from them. And yet, could they be Jesus coming to you in disguise? That's right. Could it be? I believe it's possible. And I believe that sometimes we have our kind of people, and we love to accept our kind of people and spend time with our kind of people, you know, the birds of a feather flock together notion. And yet sometimes the people that are not like us, that we wouldn't even be naturally drawn to, could be, if you will, Jesus coming to us in disguise and looking to see if we can make room for him. Maybe, in fact, it's the person that you know that you don't spend time with who is an alcoholic, possibly doesn't use the kind of language you appreciate, maybe even doesn't go to church, but somehow during this season, you have an opportunity to be with them, and it's an open invitation for you to exercise hospitality. And could it be that the degree to which we offer hospitality to someone like that is in fact part of the Christmas message of us making room for Jesus? I have a friend of mine. I really have great affection for him. He's got a drinking problem. He's been married a couple times. He lives a very, very rough life. But when he comes around, my wife always fusses over him and makes sure he has something to eat. And you know, we really count him as a friend, and we've never expected anything in return. But what was very interesting is the other night I was in a meeting here at my home, meeting with some other people, and they happened to be, you know, people that are contributing to society, a couple doctors and some educators, and we were talking about Jesus, and all of a sudden my telephone rang, and here it was my friend. Hadn't finished high school, isn't always employed, isn't always sober, but he talked about a member of his family that was suddenly taken to the hospital, and he wanted to know if we would pray. And it reminded me that the degree to which we were staying open to him not only becomes a witness of Christ, but it is in essence what Jesus was talking about when he said he comes to us as strangers. Opportunities to offer hospitality in his name. See, I think this is part of the Christmas season. So again, I want to ask, are you making room? Are you making room for Jesus? Are you making room not only in your day-to-day life and your schedule, but making room for Jesus in the fact that he often comes to us at times we're not prepared to recognize in ways that seem disguised. And yet if we're open and we're watching, we have this magnificent opportunity to do something in the name of Jesus that actually is reflecting the spirit of Christmas to make room for the Lord. So my challenge, I guess, is twofold. I want you to think about practical ways in which you can make room for Jesus in your time and in your schedule, because there may be more aspects of his involvement in your life that will enrich every aspect of your life. But maybe also making room for Jesus is making room for the way he comes in disguise during the Christmas season. A good word that you can give someone unexpectedly. Support that you can offer someone that you normally would not. A gift that could be given. I think that's part of what the Christmas season is all about. Making room for Jesus, who often comes to us in disguise. Well, I really do pray that you and your family have a magnificent Christmas celebration. And may the presence of Jesus take your breath away during this season. God bless you.